I want to speak tonight on a subject that's really summed up in one word, and that is the word eternity. Did you ever think that before this year passes, you and I could be in God's eternity? I was reading of Lord William Russell, who many years ago was sentenced to death for some kind of traitor work. On the scaffold, he took off his watch. It would have been a pocket watch, of course. He gave it to Dr. Burnett, and he said this: "My watch may be of some service to you. I have no further occasion for it. My thoughts are fixed on eternity." Unquote. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, we read those words: "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In the city of Milan, there's a great cathedral. It has a triple archway. One contains a carving of roses with the inscription, "All that which pleases is but for a moment." The second one has an inscription, "All that which troubles us is but for a moment." But in the central arch, there's inscribed the words, "That only is important which is eternal." Men and women, that's the truth. The only thing that really matters is eternity. And where you and I will spend eternity. Where will we be 5 minutes after death claims us? That's the question tonight. I want to say 3 things. First of all, there is here in this thought, in this text, a universal reality. It says in verse 18, "The things which are seen are temporal. They don't last. Everything about this world is decaying. It's dying. It's coming to an end. We are all going, brethren and sisters, men and women, soon we will be gone. The things which are seen." The man that wrote these words, the Apostle Paul, he had seen much in his life. He had seen things in Tarsus, Jerusalem, Corinth, Rome, Ephesus, and all over the known earth. But Paul knew that everything he had seen was temporal. It would soon end. Beauty is temporal. A famous Hollywood actress a number of years ago was asked the question, "How long do you think you will remain as a beautiful sex symbol and actress?" She said immediately with a smile, "Forever, darling." It was a short while later that that woman was killed outright in a car smash, and her beautiful looks and her youthful body was squashed all over the front of the car. It wasn't forever. It was temporal. Abram's wife, Sarah, must have been a beautiful lady. She was 90 years of age. and was still very attractive. So much so that Abram feared that the Pharaoh and the high ups in the land of Egypt would desire to have her. That he caused her to lie about who she was. But there came a time when Sarah died, for youth and beauty pass away. And Abram said at that time, "Let me bury my dead out of my sight." You see, cosmetics will not always do it. Facelifts, a nip and tuck, whatever you call it. I remember when my mother-in-law was injured badly in the car accident, and she was in intensive care. She had been looked after by a nurse, a lovely girl, a Roman Catholic, who was very attentive and very pleasant and all of that. But she had with her a young nurse who was a Filipino, I think, who was training. And the intensive care nurse said to me one day, "You know, she kept looking at me very strangely, this wee nurse that worked with me." And I got to the stage where I couldn't keep quiet anymore, and I said to her, "Why do you keep looking at me so intently?" And she said, looking at me more intently, "Did you ever think of getting a facelift?" Imagine saying that to a woman. Even if she was the ugliest woman in the country, you don't say such a thing. But see, that's what she did. But you know, listen, it won't last forever. Some people have had so much surgery that a man said one night in the news, their belly button has become the dimple in their chin. They've been stretched so much. Friend, listen, no matter what you do or how much you spend in doing it, it'll pass away. It'll decay. Age comes to us, as we all know. Our eyes grow dim, our ears close up, our memory fades. I read of a man that went to the doctor and he says, "Doctor, I have a problem." The doctor says, "What's your problem?" He said, "It's my memory. I can't remember anything. Can't remember where I put my watch, where I'm supposed to go." The doctor looked at him and said, "How long have you had this problem?" The man looked back and said, "What problem?" That's how poor his memory was. And you know, that can happen. That can really happen. Beauty is temporal. Strength is temporal. People used to go out, and still do, of course, for a jog or a walk. They're very fit. It's very good, very healthy, wonderful. But it'll pass. You see, wisdom is also very temporal. Let me read a verse of scripture from the book of 1 Kings, please. You just listen, hold on for a second till I find it. It's 1 Kings chapter 11. And it says there in verses 2 and 3, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Listen to this bit. "Solomon, clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart." This was the man of whom it was said the wisest man that ever lived. And when he was young, that was the case, evidently. All his problems came upon him in later life. 700 wives. Probably didn't even know the name of most of them. 300 concubine. Tell me this, where did his wisdom go then? It disappeared. You know that a man that has that record could not at any time of doing such a thing be wise, a wise man. Oh, friend, your home, your wealth, your bank balance, it's all temporal. Someone said all you will have at the end of the day is a hole in the ground. Actually, you don't even have that. The hole in the ground will have you. All through my life, every time I married a young couple, I left a motto text with them, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, listen, that's a good motto for life. The Lord first and foremost in everything. So here's a challenge tonight. Something, of course, it's also a comfort. All Paul's troubles came to him because he was a servant of Jesus Christ. And if you read verses 8 through 17 of this chapter in Corinthians, you'll see what I mean. But even all those things will surely pass. And I was laid up with my broken leg for 8 weeks, not able to leave the house, even the chair, hardly at all in the living room. One of my ministerial friends was visiting me, and I was giving up. I was very down. I said, "Brother, I can't stick this. It's driving me crazy. Can't get out." He just said to me this. He said, "Brother, listen. As the scripture says, it will come to pass." And of course, so it did. All the afflictions of life for the believer, Paul here especially, a man who suffered more than any of us will ever suffer for Christ, they soon passed. For there was a day when old Nero had the apostle brought to the scaffold and had his head cut off his body. Look what it says in the verse 17. For our light affliction. How could Paul ever speak about what happened to him as a light affliction? But he does. Which is but for a moment. Ah, compared to eternity. It is. He said, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's it. What a comfort. What a comfort. So there you have, at the very thought, the very first, something, a reality that's universal. We're all going to pass out into God's eternity. There's no escaping from it. Unless the Savior comes before. There's not only a universal reality, there's a non-ending eternity. Things which are not seen are eternal. These things have no change, no decay. They're unending, eternity. The word is only found once in Scripture in the verse I read in Isaiah 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Our God is eternal. The psalmist, writing in the Psalm 90, and the verse 2, I think it is, Psalm 90 and verse 2, says this. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's eternal. Oh, they tell us that man goes back millions upon millions of years and the creation of the earth, billions of years. One of the leading charismatics in America, Pat Robertson, heretic of the highest order, he says that the idea that man was first created 6,000 years ago, as the Bible teaches, is nonsense. Man is millions of years old. But he's not. And even if he was, he wouldn't be eternal. You see, beloved, our God is eternal. And although it's only revealed once in the Bible, the word itself, the concept of eternity appears many times. Let me give you some statistics, if you can hold on a second. 1 million years, that's 1,000,000. 1 trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. 1 quadrillion is 1,000,000,000,000,000. And 1 quintrillion is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? How do you get your mind around that? Yet, it's true. And when you think of eternity, even after all of that time, eternity itself, beloved, has not even begun. What a concept this is. Yet the psalmist could say in the shepherd's psalm that he was going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We sang that lovely hymn, "Forever with the Lord." Amen, so let it be. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 16, at God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, beloved, listen to it tonight. It never changes. Ah, that's the wonder, the absolute wonder of the gospel. Peter writing in 1 Peter 1:4. We just turn to it for a moment. 1 Peter 1:4. Speaks about an inheritance incorruptible. Now, what does that mean? We're told we're born again of incorruptible seed. What does incorruptible mean? It simply means it can't corrupt. So it's eternal. And undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Listen to it. Reserved in heaven for you. That's for every believer in this meeting. This inheritance tonight is reserved in heaven for us all. Tell me, are you ready for it? If you're not saved, you're not. You need to make consideration of this. You see, in the day of judgment, according to Matthew 25, there's bliss for the saved. Ah, the chosen sheep. But there's banishment for the lost. Fixed is the vast eternal deep between the goats and the chosen sheep. Friend, it's separation forevermore. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. There is a way into hell. It's rejecting Christ as your Savior, but there's no way out of hell. The rich man discovered that in the story of Lazarus. It's an unending eternity. But last of all, there is here also an unavoidable recognition. Surely, surely you must recognize your plight. It's either heaven or hell. Folks, there's no in between here. There really isn't. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16. "But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" You see, you can only be where Jesus is if you know him. And the question to your heart has got to be, do you know him tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ, the living reality in your soul. We're thinking about eternity. That's a sea with no bottom. That's an ocean with no shore. That's a life with no end. Man, you need Christ tonight. Let me finish with the story of a man. His name eludes me, but he was known in Australia as the Eternity Man, or Mr. Eternity. He couldn't read or write. This was the wonderful thing about him. But he spent much of his life going round various places in Australia. I think maybe Sydney, mostly. And he wrote in a special kind of chalk that he had on footpaths and roadways. He was able to write the word eternity in the most beautiful, I've seen photographs of it, the most beautiful script writing you ever seen. And in fact, when Australia entered the new millennium in 2000, the Sydney Opera House, I think it was, they lit it up with the word eternity right across the sky. That was the man's life's work. Doesn't seem like much. Seems very strange and weird and eccentric. But it seems that many people were convicted and won for Christ through that silent witness of one word. What power there is in the word eternity. Man, you need to consider it. The hymn we're going to close with tonight begins like this. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? I pray that that thought will live in your heart tonight, that you will grasp the truth of this, you will see this, and you will consider it. And if you're not saved, young person, I know you're not thinking much about eternity, but you should, you know. You need Christ. That's the important thing. May the truth of God's eternity sink into your very being tonight.